Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different topics. Football is a big one. The NFL yesterday, COVID cut day is what I'm going to call it, with the news last night that Urban Meyer was taken into account, the vaccination status of those guys at the end of the kind of the roster. Most people think Cam Newton's status was a big part of why he got cut, along with Mac Jones looking good. How much, and listen, anybody that's listened to our show knows how I feel about it. I don't have a problem with that.
With
those teams using the way that the agreement was collectively bargained with the Players Association, it makes sense. I mean, if you're one of those guys that knew you're going to be at the end of the roster fighting for the last couple spots and you weren't vaccinated, you got to play by the rules that are there, you know, with that bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
No matter what you know, and that's just the way it is. And everybody could see this coming, right? With the hassle of it.
Sure. Yeah.
And whatnot. Now,
after last season?
And the fact that the unvaccinated players with this agreement are basically discriminated against with the protocols and the rules that are in place.
Right.
And the last thing that NFL coaches and all that want is extra hassle for no reason on a guy that's maybe on the special teams. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So that
easier to pull the trigger on him, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And now there's Urban Meyer kind of admitted the truth. And so now it looks like the Players Association is going to announce an investigation and a probe. You know, this to me is more on them for agreeing to this stuff.
Why would they probe something they agreed to?
Just to save face.
Okay.
Looks like to me. But anyway, so we'll talk about that. Man, did you see the Quinn Ewers story yesterday?
He got paid.
Yeah, he got paid.
He got paid.
A $1.4 million deal to sign autographs at his time.
Let's hope he's good.
At Ohio State. Well, yeah, that's kind of partly where I want to go.
Let's hope he's actually good at playing the sport.
That's part of where I wanted to go. And also, you know, if you're one of these universities and the teams, you know, how much do you monitor this? I know there's certain rules that are in place. I think team by team, school by school, then also overall. But it's kind of a fine line, I think, to be honest with you, of monitoring it while also not hurting your recruiting.
Yeah, you want to, yeah.
By having your finger on the pulse too much.
Right.
No more Brooksy.
Oh, yeah.
The ridiculousness of the PGA Tour. And then also, there are a few tests of common sense in this life, Jared. There are a few.
Okay.
And I went through one today.
Really?
I'm going to tell you about it. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Just fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. September 1st.
Dove season.
I mean, it's dove. That's right. I did a story about that. Dove season. And we're knocking on the door, obviously, of football season. I mean, full-blown football season. Right? Labor Day weekend, kind of
it's here, man.
That's it, man. And then all of a sudden, we're looking at brown leaves and kids in costumes and Halloween, and all of a sudden it's cold again. We're making a turn towards fall. But the big news for me is it's September 1st, and it finally is really starting to feel like football season.
Yeah, it's here.
But only thing on my mind is, when do I spray my lawn for the fall? Well, I need to get your guy's number after this. I should have it, but I don't. I really want to attack that.
I always ask him, my main question is, okay, do I scalp or do I leave it?
Yeah, do you do it like spring? Do you, is it like a reverse spring? Do you scalp it? And because I know what I do in the
I've
spring.
Done both.
Do you do it in this fall too?
I've done both. I've left it and I've scalped it.
Should I aerate?
That's you have to ask.
This is the I want to talk to
the questions
people
for the
smarter
professionals
than me. Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
You know what I would love to do one of these times?
What's that?
And I'm not sure when you would do this. I would assume it'd be a little bit later. I would love to burn my yard.
I've seen someone do this.
I would love to burn the whole thing.
Yeah. I've seen someone do it with a propane tank and a torch.
Yes.
And just walk up and down his
just
lawn.
Just walk up and down and burn it.
But it was in the springtime.
Yeah, I think it would need to be probably February or March mm-hmm. when you did it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed
yeah,
to
be very careful with
to
it,
November.
But yeah. I've seen someone do it, and I thought, that's really a good idea. Not a bad idea.
Short and tight for the winter is how one lawn expert does it.
To cut it?
Yep.
Kind of like my hair.
The problem, I can tell you this, the problem with leaving it
well, you get
for the winter is you catch all the leaves.
Yes. This, yes.
You catch all the leaves, whereas if you mow it down, all that kind of blows around and blows away.
It's tricky when to know when is this my last mow of the season.
I'll tell you what, if it doesn't rain around our yard, I may have already done it. Unless I want to mow it down.
I got told last night, have you given up on the lawn?
Oh, man.
So what are you talking about? Look over there. You're not even running the sprinkler anymore. It's like, well, have you seen how much rain we've had?
Ouch.
So I put the sprinkler up.
It's kind of the... It's kind of...
Plus, I've been a little occupied.
Kind of a shot to the stomach there.
I've been so busy here. When I get home, I don't want to do anything.
I understand that. That is not...
Now I'm back. Now that we're past week zero. Now we're past the first football game. I feel like more in rhythm.
Yeah.
I'm not as rushed.
I can tell you who doesn't agree with that assessment.
With what?
Get home and relax.
Well, I could tell you who doesn't either, but who are you going to say?
The same person, okay, except yeah. One of them's name is Allie and the other's name is Kara.
Yeah.
The wives. I don't know what it is, but it's like you get home and I sit down for two. Why are you sitting?
Oh, I got
are
that.
You not going to get up and do something? I really don't want to. Until it's time to start cooking supper.
Hey, if you're just going to sit there, you can unload the dishwasher
yeah.
for me.
Oh,
maybe help out a little
don't
bit.
Don't mention dishwasher.
We got to move on from this topic.
Don't mention it.
Digging a hole.
I'm going to have to go dishwasher shopping at some point.
Oh, no.
I thought we had one.
Is it what? Oh, no, dude. Don't do that. Don't.
Me.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say your wife.
Her sometimes, too. We actually do have a dishwasher, but it's out of commission. I don't know. We haven't ran it. Anyway.
You ever installed one?
No.
I've done it. I've done this.
Have you really?
I might have to help you out. Because it takes some tight spaces, and I have a feeling you might need me to get in some of those tight
spaces. That means I'm out. Hopefully Wyatt can man the wrench.
I've installed a dishwasher or two back in my day. Back in my time. Back in the old furniture and appliance delivery days back in college.
You know what I don't understand about the dishwasher?
What's that?
You wash dishes to put it into the dishwasher. Anyway, moving on.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, it'll be a while for me.
Okay.
I've got some tests of common sense.
I might be working late tonight.
So, okay, there really are certain things that kind of I just look at it and go, okay, that's like a test of the common sense of people. Just normal everyday activities.
Okay.
One of those is when you pull up to a four-way stop. And everybody's
that's so
pointing
funny.
At
each other. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Everybody's pointing at each other. Nobody's going. Then you get that go stop. And all of a sudden, all the noses of all the vehicles are about a foot away in the middle of the intersection. So that is one of them. I went through another one today. One of the biggest tests of common sense in the American life is the school line.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Navigating the school line.
Right.
And so it's irritating. It's what it is. It's irritating, and now, you know, I always I get irritated when people don't follow the rules.
I'm with you.
So, like, when I drop Wyatt off at school, there's a spot to go from the street in to the parking lot. But then before that, there's just an out.
Mm-hmm.
One way, giant sign, out. Well, it irritates me when people pull in there. Because they're not following the rules.
They're not following the rules.
I may start doing that.
Hey,
because when you get down, so you get down and you have two choices at Sarah Elementary. You can either go through the line or you can park, get out, walk across,
walk your kid there.
And then come back.
Yeah, okay.
I am 1,000,000% the park, get out, and go.
Feels quicker.
The problem is,
it's like me at McDonald's. I'd rather walk inside than sit in the whole chair.
Well,
yeah, anymore, I'll do that.
Anymore, I understand what you're saying there. But the problem is, I'm in the giant minority. Everyone else wants to go through the line.
Right.
So you end up getting stacked back to where you can't get to the turn.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, I'm going to have to give some love. So I was like 3 or 4 cars from the turn this morning thinking, oh, my gosh. And the problem is we're coming from west to east, and it's a left turn. So everyone else coming from the other direction, they just pull right in there. It's a right turn. Boom. They're there. They're there. Well, they're stacking up. And I'm like, man. And one of the moms behind me, I'm even going to give her the credit, Bailey Jackson. Way to go, Bailey. She was right behind me, and she's a dropper off too, like
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
So she just whips it down the street, wrong, you know, on the wrong. But nobody was coming because it was stacked up so far, and so she just whipped it right in there, and I went, I'm following.
Okay.
What a great plan! And so I did it too, and I felt proud of myself for following Bailey's common sense instead of waiting. And anyway, I felt a little bit like a rebel. For maybe not following the rules of the line as much as I was supposed to, but great work. Great work.
Well, we're on the topic of traffic and not following the rules. Yes, the 4-way stop thing drives me nuts. Had one where an individual pulled out. It was my turn to go. Individual on my right side, she pulls out, and I have to stop. And then she just proceeds to go through the intersection while I am a quarter way into the intersection and just stares at me as she drives by. And I just look at her right back. That's all I do. I don't wave at her like we all want to do or honk at her. I just look at her like, you want to have a staring contest? I'll win. Oh, it drives me crazy. Here's another one, and we'll move on. When you're at the Walmart parking lot and there are arrows in the parking lot that says you go this way or you come out this way. So when you follow the arrows and then someone's driving right at you because they don't understand what an arrow means and why the parking lot is designed like that, and then I have to stop to let them go around. Remember me waving at people? Yeah, that drives me crazy. Or going out the indoor at Walmart or in the outdoor.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? It says in. It just, I don't know why.
Well, and there's
some people are just rebels. Some people just don't care. But I'm like you. I'm like, you know, this just makes it easier for everybody if we just follow these simple rules. But I imagine driving, and I don't drop off my kids. My wife does. She prefers it. I've done it. I don't mind it, but she just prefers it. And it is. It's organized chaos.
I don't know how organized it is.
Well, yeah.
But the problem
tries.
Is,
I mean,
they try. They do as good a job as they can.
They're trying.
It's
yeah.
just here's the deal.
It's just a matter of people trying that need to follow the rules.
On Wednesday and Thursday, I have to get her earlier,
mm-hmm.
which puts me in the prime time zone of everybody getting to school. I'm actually shocked that how early everybody gets to school. Doesn't start till 8:00, It's a traffic jam at 7:30.
Well, I think they're trying to get their kids there to eat breakfast. You think that's it?
That's a possibility.
And I know our kids, they love eating breakfast at school, so we get them there early enough.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. So that's probably part of it.
That does make sense.
Yeah. especially, and I don't know if it's now, I don't think it is, but last year when all the meals were free.
I think it is again.
That's a big perk. That saves you a lot of money if your kids can eat free at school.
Yeah. Never thought about that aspect of it.
The breakfast. Yeah. And you were just bragging about the cafeteria and everything.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So maybe that's it.
It is awesome. New cafeteria.
Destination place to be. Get there early enough so you can get some good breakfast in that brand new cafeteria.
Well, thanks again to Bailey for being a rebel and allowing me to slide in on her coattails to get into the parking lot. Otherwise, I may still be sitting there. Wyatt screaming, "Can I go to school?" Yeah, hop out, buddy.
My oldest has asked me, "Dad, can I just walk to school?" Because it is literally
down
the street.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, see you." And Allie said, "No, get in the car," because that is a busy street.
Yeah, oh,
and a lot of the high school kids are, God bless them, but they're
driving
a little fast when they're driving to school.
Do you yell, "Get off my lawn" while you're doing it?
No, I'd look at them again. I just look at them. I stand there to look at them. Hope they see me in my rear view, just my shiny bald head just looking at them.
I don't know that they care enough.
Come on, we were all that age.
Once again, rule follower. Not me.
You never sped.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Speaking of rules, a new one handed down by the PGA Tour yesterday. Commissioner Jay Monahan announced that fans who breach our code of conduct are subject to expulsion from the tournament and loss of their credential or ticket. This stems from people shouting out Brooksy at Bryson DeChambeau. It's part of the feud that's been ongoing all summer long between DeChambeau and Koepka. This is really interesting because it's been a hot topic since the PGA that Phil Mickelson won. They're on the 18th hole. There was a lot of people criticizing the fans for kind of getting in the way. Koepka was a little bit of a baby about it with all those fans firing in behind Phil, wanting to be a part of it or whatnot. And at that point, you know, the talk was, well, it's their first time. You know, they've been cooped up, going crazy, da-da-da. Well, as the feud between Koepka and DeChambeau has grown, more and more people have started shouting Brooksy at Bryson. And so now the PGA Tour, ahead of the Tour Championship this week, make this announcement that you can literally be tossed out for yelling Brooksy at Bryson DeChambeau.
Mm.
And
wow.
Not surprisingly, there was a ton of tour player reaction on Twitter. And not surprisingly, a lot of it came from past members of European Ryder Cup teams. Lee Westwood in particular, just laughing about what the tour had come up with when they've allowed just egregious comments aimed toward the Euros all these years in the Ryder Cup. Let me see if I can find that tweet. "I've been called Lumpy, Oosty, Clarky, on and off for the last 25 years, and now you bring a rule in." I mean, obviously tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
James Hahn, you know him?
I think I've seen this
tweet. Did you see that
one?
He said, "Oh, great. Is anybody going to be thrown out for calling me Sangmoon Bae and different other Korean guys?"
Or Kevin Na.
Yeah.
He made the joke, so it's okay.
Well, I mean, we're just
repeating the
tweet. But, I mean.
Can you call him anything else? Or, I mean.
That's my question.
Brooksy's off limits, but can you call him something else?
What if you just keep on going, "Hey, way to go, Bryson, Bryson, Bryson"? I'm calling him his name, but being annoying about it.
Like the guy on Happy Gilmore.
I mean, and do we really think this is going to work? This isn't going to do anything but put fuel to the fire.
It is. It is.
You know what's interesting, though?
I'm going to get clear the gallery if everybody yells it at one time.
Well, that's, you know, but you know where this never happens?
Where?
Augusta.
That's true.
So what's the deal with Augusta? I mean, because you never hear any of this crap. The get in the hole or the smash potato. None of that Baba Booey crap. You never hear that at Augusta. So why?
there's a lure of it. Really?
Is it just that they're so scared, the fans are so scared of doing something to get kicked off the grounds that they don't do it? Is that all it is?
Think about it.
Oh, I mean,
How long have you waited to get tickets? And you finally score them. And then you're there. Wouldn't you be a little scared to do or say something wrong?
I'd be scared to move.
Exactly. You can't even have your phone there. There's all this different.
Yeah, not during the week. Right. Or not during the tournament.
All these different rules at Augusta. Anyway. And then just the prestige of it and the allure of it. You don't want to get kicked out of that place.
No.
So there's more of a respect there for every golfer that's there. Plus, just to, be invited to play at the Masters, these guys get a lot of respect. It's different. It's just different.
So that answers my question then. It is different, and that's why this can't be, whatever they're doing can't be mimicked, because there's not the same respect for the grounds and the tournament other places.
Right. Right. Augusta's not, the waste management where people go crazy, right? You see what I'm saying?
It's for sure.
It's a different type of fan, different type of gallery.
Yeah, you know what?
And it can get a little unruly. And plus, the timing of it is, with this feud, the timing of it is right when fans are coming back after the COVID shutdown, and the fans are coming back, and we've seen how in every sport fans have become a little rowdy. It's part of that too, I bet.
What do you think the reaction's going to be in a couple of weeks up at Whistling Straits for Bryson DeChambeau from the U.S. fans at the Ryder Cup? Do you think it will be full-fledged love and support because he's on the American team? Or do you think even there, obviously there's going to be European fans there too, which good and well are going to want to get on him.
Of course.
But even from the American side, with the dislike that he's created, I almost think this could be a chance for him if he has no self-awareness. And so for him to do it right would be maybe a modern miracle. But I do think that the Ryder Cup offers him the chance and offers him the opportunity to kind of get back in the good graces of the American golf fans if he plays it right.
He has to play it right. That's the key. He has to carry himself right, play it right, not be a jerk.
What does that look like?
A respectable golfer. Just name any one of them that we like. Act like that guy. You see what I'm saying? Instead of telling someone on the European team to stop walking, be a respectable golfer and not arrogant. It's not hard. This isn't a hard fix for him, but maybe it is for him personally.
Because
you're right, he's not aware. He's so.
People cheer for Patrick Reed every 2 years, and he's a cheater.
Yeah, it's true.
And I don't know.
I think the fans would react to him, being on the American team. I'm not trying to put a pun in here, but, he makes a putt, for par or for birdie, and you'll get the golf clap. As opposed to someone else doing it, maybe
a little bit louder roar.
Like, okay, we don't like it, but you helped our team.
Yeah, I think he's going to be afforded the same, just because it's the Ryder Cup trumps how much people don't like him.
Okay.
I don't think he has to go full Captain America Patrick Reed for the week, but just don't be a jerk.
Just don't be a jerk. That's all I'm saying. Just don't be a jerk.
And if he does that,
which is like common advice for everyday life. don't be a jerk.
Yeah, not only this week, but carry it over. But I do think this is a chance, depending on how the matches go, for him to earn some brownie points with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just see if he's self-aware enough to do it. The Magic 8-Ball says chances not great.
Yeah, not great.
That he'll do it.
No.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. Brooksy! We can say it. Are we going to get kicked off the air?
Maybe we'll get kicked off the air. And maybe people just yell it at him anyway because they like him so little. This is Wednesday. You have till Saturday to get involved with the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest. ESPN website. The group is The Skinny on Sports. There's a couple of ways to do this. It's, first of all, it's dead free to sign up. It's going to be a pick'em contest throughout the season against the spread, against the point spread of college football games, starting this weekend all the way through the end. And the website will keep up the tally of the picks, keep the order. There's going to be an awesome prize package at the end of it. All you got to do is sign up. So go to ESPN's website, search for the college pick'em contest. Once you find that, find the group The Skinny on Sports. Boom, you're there. Or even easier, find the Skinny on Sports Facebook page. We have a link posted straight to this group, and then you can sign up that way. You have to be ready to go by Saturday, 10:55, because at 11 o'clock it'll shut off when the first games kick off, which is Wisconsin, Penn State, Oklahoma, Tulane on the list of games to pick. So come get involved, The Skinny on Sports College Pick'em Contest. Thanks to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the group at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto, and we appreciate them being on board again this year. So what was it, a month ago maybe, when the Quinn Ewers announcement came? So Quinn Ewers is going into his senior year as the quarterback of the South Lake Carroll Dragons. He's the number one player in the 2022 recruiting class. Head and shoulders above everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of playing his senior year, he foregoes that senior year to go to Ohio State, which he'd already committed to. He enrolls. And the reason being, down in Texas, as a high school athlete, you cannot profit from your name, image, and likeness. You can in college football. And so he makes the decision to not play his senior year, enroll early at Ohio State, and start hopefully profiting. Well, that hopefully came down the pike yesterday when you were signed a $1.4 million endorsement deal for his autograph for his time at the Ohio State University. Pandora's box is open. This is the wild, wild west in college athletics as we speak.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's going to get bigger, too, I think. This is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to these deals. But it's going to get bigger and bigger because, I mean, think about Arch Manning.
That's exactly where I was headed next. What's he going to get, $5 million?
Yeah. I mean, his name alone, right?
Yeah.
He's a legacy. So he's going to get the recognizability of him is so much bigger than this kid. So he's going to get wherever he goes. And it might impact where he chooses to go, knowing if I go to this school in this market, I can get this much money as opposed to that school in that smaller market. Yeah, the ripple effect of this is still ongoing, and it's interesting. What's interesting is Ewers going to be good? I mean, what if he's not? What if he's a bust?
See, that's
what if he goes there and he what if the quarterback ahead of him who's their
CJ Stroud?
What if he is just gangbusters, lights out, awesome quarterback, invited to New York, part of the Heisman? I mean, what are we talking about here? And then is Ewers going to be able to do what he did? And then what if, I mean, you got a guy who's not even technically on the team. Is he practicing with him?
I think so.
Well, you got this guy.
Hang on a minute. No. He's just going to school. He can't. Yeah, that's right.
Where I'm going with this, it could
he
cause.
He can't practice until the spring.
Yeah, okay. A guy that's not even practicing on the team is making this much money over the starting quarterback for the Ohio State University. And then again, I mean, it could cause internal problems in the locker room. Go, why are you getting paid that much when I'm better than you? Which I think that was a question going into this. You know, you have offensive linemen. I'm the one that keeps your butt up. How come you're getting the money and I'm not?
Yeah, and to be clear, this isn't just an Ohio State problem.
No, it's
this
is an
everywhere problem.
No, but this is just hyper focused on this big deal that just happened.
CJ Stroud's a freshman.
Yeah.
What if he's a stud?
What if he is a stud?
And he plays for 3 years, maybe two. I think he's probably a redshirt freshman because I think I remember hearing his name. Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman.
Do freshmen like Quinn Ewers? Is he required to live on campus?
Gosh, I don't
know. I mean,
you
can afford a nice house now in Columbus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's just so crazy to me.
Yeah, the Pandora's box has been opened. And, so what's C.J. Stroud getting? He really is a starting quarterback. He really can play on the team.
Yeah. Haven't heard anything he's gotten.
Uh-uh. And, of course...
Now, what a part of these deals do you think? Are they like contracts? Like, you have to produce so much if you don't get your team into the top five or the
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Okay.
I think you've got... Because
it's a risk on their part, spending $1.4 million on this kid, committing this much money on this kid, and then what if he is not good? And you're like, golly, we just hitched our wagon to this dud.
Well, that's the way it happens all the time. You know, we see those shoe contracts and all kind of stuff like that. And I think this is probably where a lot of this is going. It's a group, it's a management group that's kind of gotten their hooks into Ewers to manage his NIL money. And what they're doing is betting on the come. Yeah, we'll pay him $1.4 million, and if he turns out to be Trevor Lawrence, we've already got a relationship established with him. We've got him under our umbrella. Now think of the possibilities once he's a star in the NFL, making all that money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're able to produce that way. And it just makes it a little bit more, you know, we've always known that there was not corruption to the level of what it was in college basketball with just the seediness of the AAU and all that. You know, college football, we always knew, you know, guys are getting paid. They're getting cash. They're getting cars. But
yeah,
it wasn't the organized structure that existed in college basketball. And this feels like a huge step toward that.
Yes. Yes.
And so now, to me, you start looking a couple of things. One, I know we're going to immediately focus on, okay, what teams can really, really profit off of this. And, you know, your eyes go to the Pacific Northwest with the money that Phil Knight has.
Right.
You know, in the different markets, with obviously LA with USC and Miami down there and all that. But I look at it from a totally different the concern that I would have. How much and how many of these kids are going to be taken advantage of and having their money stolen by a lot of these seedy characters are going to show up on the scene in college football?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
What was that goofball down at Miami? Devin, in that story, the Miami stuff that came out where he was like a Ponzi schemer. He was when they got in trouble this last time, Devin something.
I vaguely remember, yeah.
You know, guys like that.
Yeah.
That are going to show up on the scene.
And it'll happen. It'll happen. I mean, could you imagine being that young with that much money?
Oh my gosh! If I was a freshman in college with $1.4 million,
you would hope that individuals like this, like Quinn, and it seems like he comes from a good family, that their parents are going to step up and go, "Listen, we're going to manage this. We're going to hire a money manager. We're going to keep, you know, protect this. And all you got to worry about is school and football. You know what I mean? And the obligation that you made with this company, but." But there are others where they don't come from a family of means, and this is the first time that they've really had money, and then you could see those super shady people showing up in their lives and taking advantage of them, which is sad. You would hope that there would be some kind of protection there.
Nevin.
Maybe that is something schools should look into, is we got to protect these guys.
Nevin Shapiro. Nevin,
yeah,
not
yeah,
Devin.
Shapiro. Yeah.
100%. That's my next question. How much, if you're a school or you're a team or you're a coach? I mean, there was a bunch of stuff yesterday with Lincoln Riley's press conference talking about he is trying to steer guys clear of doing, like, you know, radio shows or TV hits. Mm-hmm. How much of that do you think you need to do to monitor, to A, keep guys focused on the task at hand? And just, and I think avoiding the jealousy of a lot of this is a huge thing.
Well, I think there needs to be a talk of respect in the locker room between you and your teammates. Yes, there are going to be players, the big name players, the Spencer Rattlers of the world, who are going to be getting big deals as opposed to, I mean, can you name me the center right now? I mean, you see,
Andrew Rain.
He's obviously not going to get big deals, but there needs, I think there should be a, and that comes from the top, that's Lincoln, and creating that culture of, guys, listen, I know you're going to be making money, and there's going to be these opportunities, but I think it's what you're asking me about, avoiding the rift in the locker room.
Yeah, and keeping guys focused, because you know good and well, the very first incompletion, interception, bad game, whatever the Spencer Rattler has, the first call right here on these airwaves to Jim and Al in the post game is, he wasn't focused on the game. He was focused on Raising Cane's chicken and making money from that. Mm-hmm. You know, any message board you're on, the first bad pass, boom. Well, if he'd have been, you know, you see, it's just the nature of fans. And so does that creep into the locker room?
Yeah.
Of guys going, yes. Well, if he wouldn't have been out till, you know, right, 11 o'clock last night. Shooting the commercial and all that, would he have been over, would have been here performing on the field?
I mean, it's a real test of character. I mean, a real, real big test of character. Are you a kid that's committed? I mean, you can't advance to the next level unless you put the time in. If you're more worried about shooting the commercial than, you know, practicing your passes or whatever. I mean, that's a real test of character. And that could trickle down to, you know, or trickle up, I guess, to the NFL going, listen, he's a great athlete, but he's more concerned about shooting the next commercial than winning football games.
In a strange way, I think this makes the NFL, you know, there's always those questions of what's going to happen when they get the money.
Yeah, that kind of, well, that eliminates that.
In a strange way, I think those guys are going to have another litmus test to look at.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to be the level of money that they might get, but for some of these guys, I mean, $1.4 million when you're 18 years old is unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
I'm sitting here trying in my head to imagine. Of course, first off, at 18, you couldn't get in there, but let's say you're 21. Just the lunacy that I would have done at JC Cowboys?
Yeah, my parents.
On a Friday night? If I had $1.4 million? Oh, my Lord.
Thank God for my parents. They would have protected me from that. Like, not like going out the Cowboys, but meaning my money. They would have said, listen, you're not going to have access to this. We're going to have to be smart with this. But I see what you're saying. That's back to my original question. Could you imagine being a freshman, sophomore in college with this kind of money?
Yeah, and the question, how does the NFL do it? Well, part of it is the NFL, those guys are older. They're more mature.
Yeah, these are still kids we're talking about.
That's the whole thing. You know, for this one in particular, I mean, he's 18.
Yes. Yes, I know that legally he's an adult, but we were all dumb when we were 18.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I cringe when I think about when I was 18. It's crazy. Now, I had a comment. I forgot what I was going to say. Totally slipped my mind until you brought that up. Dang it. It's going to come back.
Really interesting. It's going to continue to be really interesting how this works. Yeah, 18. He turned 18 in March. Quinn Ewers.
Wow.
And he has a brutal haircut.
That's the first thing you go to.
A little John Daly-esque.
A little.
It's like a blonde mullet.
Blonde mullet. Oh, well, that's the thing.
Flowing locks, though.
I saw a lot of mullets on Friday night.
Yeah.
It's the thing.
There's normally one walking around our house. For sure. Matter of fact, he said he's not cutting his hair.
You're looking at a $1.4 million mullet right there.
It's a sweet one.
It's going to be interesting. Now I remember what I was going to ask.
See, here's the college students can't hire agents. Actually, I think they can. I think they're allowed to be managed by these groups.
Who's going to manage that?
Be a little bit of a blurry line between what you call an agent and what you call one of these groups that's like
assistant?
Well, there's these groups being contracted by the universities.
Yeah.
We've seen the names.
OU immediately did it.
That's right.
The next day. Yeah.
And so maybe the player itself can't hire an quote-unquote agent, but the university has them there. Totally different. It's a whole new world.
To manage, he can't come shoot that commercial because he has practice, but we're going to get him on Sunday afternoon at 2. Is that good for you? Okay, well, let him know. Thanks.
And there's different things when it comes to what you're able to endorse. I know that certain bars, strip clubs.
Oh, yeah, there's limits.
Gambling, that kind of thing, casinos. But I think that's put in by the institution, not necessarily the entirety of the NIL.
Right.
And so then that goes to the questions of if you're trying to kind of tamp this down as much as you can from a school and team perspective, how much does that hurt you on the recruiting trail?
Yeah.
Well, don't go there. They don't let you profit.
Right. That's what I was saying. I mean, it's going to look at small market versus large market. It's kind of turning college football into that.
Well, but, a lot of people think, Luther Burden, which was the five-star receiver, committed at OU forever, decommitted, and most people think he's going to end up at Missouri, and the big reason why is he's a hometown kid that can make more money off of his name, image, likeness there than he ever could at Oklahoma
Alabama. You could see that here. You could see a kid that turns into a fantastic high school player in the state of Oklahoma. Everybody knows his name. If I leave state, no one's going to know me. But if I stay in Norman or even Stillwater, even Tulsa, I might have a chance to make some more cash. This might give an opportunity for smaller schools in big cities. Cincinnati.
Oh, I mean,
you
SMU.
See what I'm saying? SMU in Dallas.
SMU would fit that, fit that bill pretty well.
Yeah. Okay, my question, back to the NFL side. They interview these guys, these prospects.
Oh, yeah.
They interview them. They ask them all kinds of questions to get to know them and get to know their character. Can they ask them, hey, you got that $1.4 million way back. What'd you do with it? How'd you manage that?
From some of the questions.
Because that give you an insight of how this person operates financially. It says, oh, well, actually, I invested it. We set it aside. I put 75% in savings. The other side, this pays my bills, keeps my okay, well, he's smart with his money. Another kid goes, oh, man, I went and bought a house. I bought a car. I bought my mama a jet ski. Okay, he'd spend it all. Well, I don't know. How's he going to act on the field? I mean, he's risky. Risk assessment. That's what I'm looking at.
I think it'll be used for sure.
Yeah.
Because, no questions from what we've learned through the years in those, combine sessions where you meet with the teams. I mean, we heard all kinds of craziness coming out of when Dez Bryant was being asked. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some really tough personal questions about his mom and that were probably out of bounds, but were asked anyway. So asking some kid, hey, what'd you do with that money you made in college? That's certainly not off the table. And the truth of it is, there's probably ways that those teams can look into what did happen.
Yeah.
From the scandal sheet like we see here all the time. What was there a loan taken out? Was there this? Was there that? There's ways to be able to public record ways to be able to look at some of that if that really interests you outside of just kind of asking to see what happened. So it's an entirely new world. It is a crazy, crazy thing to see what's about to happen. And like you said, this is just kind of the start of it. I think you're talking about way more than just this to get going. This is just now starting.
Oh yeah.
And it's It's certainly not slowing down anytime soon.
No.
All right. You can always count on Drew to take any conversation. Not our Drew, different Drew.
Right.
League Commissioner Drew.
The commish.
The commish. You can always count on him to take almost any conversation back to the movie draft day.
That's a good question.
Did your teammates come to your 21st birthday?
That's a good question.
Here's one that I think is really interesting as well about this NIL stuff. And it goes back to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do these kids use, first off, A, to make money in high school? Because I know Quinn Ewers did what he did because he was in Texas. But there's other places where that's not necessarily the case. So where do we see that go from a high school level across the nation? I mean, I promise you, there's some people down there at South Lake Carroll that if they don't win a state title, they're going to be calling their congressman and saying, hey, get this switched.
Right.
Because Quinn couldn't make money, we didn't win.
What states have it?
I think there was like 18.
Okay, well, what if, let's say...
Or do they start moving to those states for high school?
There you go. There you go. Because they see my kid can be successful in the next state over.
Yeah, it seemed like California was the first one that let this go, but
right.
And I'd have to do. We saw that list. Remember,
felt like when, it should have been the entire nation.
When this first happened, we saw that. I think it was 18 states, that where it was allowed.
Right. Yeah,
it's just. It's a lot. I mean, we're talking about it being 18. Okay, think about if you're 15.
Mm.
I mean, I think about like Charlie Atterbury. Everybody knew he was going to be a stud when he was 12.
Yeah.
Because he was just giant and he was super duper athletic. You know, how do you start handling that at 15?
Right.
Or 16. It's
well,
even
again,
harder.
It goes back to handling the money or
all of it.
Handling the decision of we got to move.
The decision, the money.
Yeah. Listen, it just starts with me. This sounds so old school and cliche, but it's the parents, having good parents. You know, understanding the situation, knowing, you know, what's best for your child and best for your kid and his future, his or her future.
I 100% agree. The problem with that theory is this, and this isn't taking shots at anybody, it's just the truth. If you look at a lot of these guys, the family dynamic isn't there.
Right.
Or at least the, oh, what's it called?
This all reminds me of the movie Rookie of the Year.
The two-parent household. There's a word for that.
The atomic.
That's it.
Family.
The atomic family isn't there,
right?
And the truth of it is, there's a bunch of these guys.
But sometimes when that dynamic's not there, there are still good parents. Like, you know, even though the parents can't make it work, they still have the kid's best interest, and they like, listen, this is best for the kid, so let's do this. You know, there is that mutual understanding for what's best for the kid, but it's not always there either.
No, because here's the deal: there's a whole bunch of money there, and you know what happens? Greed.
Yeah. And there's all, yeah, exactly. That's Rookie of the Year. Remember
Nuclear
Family.
Thank you, Nathan.
The wasn't the stepdad, but the boyfriend who turned into Henry's manager and then organized a trade for him behind their back because he'd get more money in the New York market as opposed to the Chicago market. But then Mama Bear stood up, took care of him. That's what we're looking for here, just good parents that could take care of their kids.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. Just
wow,
well,
text line just throwing darts at parents. Here.
And here's the deal: I don't disagree with that statement because all you got to do go firing out to the fiveplex on a weekend when there's you see some of the lunacy that goes on there. You hope that little Johnny's dad isn't the one controlling the purse strings with the way he's acting at an 8-year-old baseball game.
This is true. I take a little offense to that. I'm not an idiot.
Well, he said,
I like to think I am steering my kid in the right direction.
You're the least part.
I would hope I am steering my kid in the right direction.
But
you know, protecting her the best way
possible.
But
you know where that comes from. All you got to do is watch. Even when your daughter's playing. Some on your team, some on the other.
This is a good point.
It is crazy.
This is a good point. Last weekend.
And that's without hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line.
Yeah. Last weekend, I'm coaching first base. It's on the opposing side's dugout, near their dugout, and my kid's up the bat. And I might be a little bit more demonstrative with my body language and what I'm saying as opposed to the other kids. And the coaches on the other team from Cordell said, "Is that one yours?"
Yeah, exactly.
I said, "Yeah." They all started laughing. "We can tell." Yeah, I just grinned and said, "Yeah."
Yeah, and you do it without knowing it sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a video sent to me last night. Said, "Look at this." Yeah.
Oopsie daisies.
It's interesting stuff.
It really is.
The game NIL. Day tomorrow.
Game day tomorrow for the Big Elks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.